1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Now let's read through together, please. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the challenge that you're going to present to us today through the Word of God. God, help our pastor as he comes and preaches, fill him with thy Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, work on us, the listeners, that we'll pay attention and hear what you have for us today. Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin and punishment of eternal death, God, they would settle that before they leave this room this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, the cell phone warning goes out once again. If your cell phone goes off during the service and we hear it, one of those big foam rubber hands with the finger that points will come down out of the ceiling and settle right over the top of you so everyone will know it was you and your cell phone. So please turn it off or turn it to vibrate. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9 this morning. Do you see the statement at the end of that verse that says, we are a spectacle. We are a spectacle unto three groups. The Bible says, we are a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. The word spectacle is where we get the word theater. It's literally theatron in the Greek. But what it means, see, in those days, before PA systems and video assistants and all those sort of things, they had plays. There's a theater in Ephesus that seats over 25,000 people. And it's cut out of the side of a mountain. They literally took just a hillside, cut back into the hillside, and then cut seats out of the sides of that mountain and the stage down here below. You can Google it when you get home. Don't Google it now. You Google it when you get home, and you'll see this theater. It's a wraparound kind of semicircular sort of thing. Well, what's amazing about that is it's open air. You can stand on the stage and whisper and be heard at the very top because the acoustics is perfect, even though it's an outside theater. And it's so steep, the seating is so steep, the people are above those who are down here on the stage. They can see from every seat in the theater. And here, everything spoken, said, or done. The Bible says we are a spectacle. It's the Bible trying to teach us personal responsibility for the fact that there are people who watch us as we live our Christian life. You say, well, they can't see or hear everything, Pastor Johnson. You'd be amazed what they see and you'd be amazed what they hear. But the point isn't what do they see and hear. The point is, what do they see and hear from us? You see, there's this thing about worldliness in the Christian life where people want to live like the world, act like the world, be what the world is. But the thing that Christians are picking up most from the world today that I see is the selfishness of this world, where they don't care what anyone else sees. When the Bible says, but we are a spectacle. Not we might be. That means every child of God this morning, every person in this room that's a child of God, the Bible says the world, angels, and men see you as if you're on one of those stages and they see and hear what we do. It would be very, you know, you come across them all the time. I do in the ministry. People who don't want to go to church, don't want anything to do with Christianity, and their excuse is what? Because there's hypocrites in church. Well, we'll define a hypocrite for you in just a moment. But the truth is, they shouldn't be able to use that excuse. We have too many Christians who are providing them with that material. Say, well, they shouldn't pay attention to that. We are a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. It's irresponsible to not live with the responsibilities that you have in life. And these are one of the responsibilities God says every child of God has. We are a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. Now, then it leads to a question this morning, a couple of questions. Question number one is this, and who are you presenting? Who are you portraying on this stage of life? Do people see you like a Christian's supposed to be? Say, well, I don't know if I know what that is. Ask the unsaved. They'll tell you what a Christian is supposed to be. You know what amazes me? Lost people, unsaved people, people who are not Christians by how they live, act, or do, have a better idea of what a Christian is supposed to be than most Christians I know. Who are we portraying? I'm not asking who you're acting like. I said, who are you portraying? Do you portray a Christian in your actions, your conduct, your behavior, your attitude, where you go, what you do? Would people be surprised to see some of the places you go and find you in places where they would find you? What is it? Someone said that Muslims don't recognize the Jews, Catholics don't recognize Protestants, Protestants don't recognize Catholics, and Baptists don't recognize each other at Wind River Casino. So the question is, question, so who are you portraying? Since we are on this theatron of life, and we're in that, and people are watching us, do they see a child of God? What a child of God is? What a child of God should be? We do not believe in lifestyle evangelism, that someone's going to get saved by just how you live your life. No one will ever be saved like that. They may have a desire to know Christ because of how you live your life, but somebody's still got to tell them. How shall they hear without a preacher? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, not seeing. You have to tell them, but people are going to be interested in what you are if you portray a Christian by how you live your life. So who are you portraying? Come on, folks, look at me. The world looks at us, and they already know what the world is. That's what they are. They don't need that. They already have that. We are a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. So that lends a few questions, which is, of course, who are you portraying? Number two, what do they see? What does the world see? We'll define the world for you in a moment. What do they see? Do they see a hypocrite? Do you know a hypocrite is not somebody who has weaknesses or flaws in their life and they still go to church? That's not a hypocrite. In the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it talks about speaking lies and hypocrisy, how some people depart from the faith, speaking lies and hypocrisy. And the word hypocrisy in the Bible there is an actor in a play, much like our theatron principle. Only this person's trying to convince people by acting like something they're really not. I'm not a perfect Christian, not by a long shot. I'm working on trying to be what God wants me to be. That does not make me a hypocrite. What makes me a hypocrite is this two-faced living, where you put on your church face for your church people, then you put on your world face for your world people. You're a hypocrite. See, that business, ladies and gentlemen, someone once said to a fellow one day, he said, I know you're not two-faced because if you had a choice, you wouldn't choose the one you got. I don't think that's what that means. I think what it means is people trying to be deceptive and phony about their living. What do they see about us? When they look at our lives, are they going to see an imperfect person? Of course they are. I'm sorry, but we're not perfect. Being a Christian doesn't make you a perfect person. I'm sorry, there'll be times when they'll see us in moments of weakness of flesh. That will probably happen. You'll probably get upset about something sometime and say something you should not say. Cross a line you know you should not cross. I'm not saying because we're not perfect, we don't have a right to try and live a Christian life, because after all, I don't want anybody to think I'm a hypocrite. No, that doesn't make you a hypocrite. But do they see somebody, listen to me, but do they at least see somebody who's sincerely working at this thing? Sincerity, you can't fake the sincerity thing. You can try it. They just gave out awards recently to people who fake sincerity. Awarded them for faking it. But genuine sincerity? Nah, you can't fake that one. So I understand that. We are imperfect people in an imperfect world trying to present a perfect Savior. That's a daunting task. Agreed? But do they at least, look at me, do they at least see us sincerely giving it our best effort to do so? Well, I messed up at work and I got mad one day and I said something I shouldn't say. Question, do you go back then and say, you know what, brother, I said something I shouldn't. I apologize for that. I'm sorry. You know the sincerity of an honest apology outweighs the fact you stuck your foot in your mouth and spoke French when you shouldn't have? Actually, it's Arabic. The Arabic language is really fascinating. Everyone can speak Arabic that knows how to cuss and clear their throat. Seriously, you just go, and every now and then you say a cuss word. That's Arabic. I was over there. I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting in the front seat of the van. These guys are talking, these Arab guys talking to each other. And I went, hey, wait a minute. I know that word, and that's not Arabic. The question about you and I being on this being a spectacle to the world, angels and to men. The last question is this one. Do you care that you are? I just live my life and do what I want, and I don't care what people think. That's terrible. That's just awful. And you hear them in there, yelling, screaming, and cussing at each other. And then all of a sudden you see the little fisheye thing. You see a little movement behind there. You know, you can't see through there, but you can see movement through those. I always look. And you see movement. All of a sudden you hear him go, shh, it's the preacher. Russell, 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 bang, 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 move, move, move. Open the door, and they're all sitting there with their Bible in their hand. With cotton in their nose from the fist fights they've been having. You know, do you care? Honestly, now, do you care? Listen to me, child of God. Do you care that how you live your life may well send someone to hell? Do you care? Because they'll turn down your Savior because of your living. Do you care about that? Does that even phase you, think across your mind that might, well, then they shouldn't do that. They should trust Christ because of who Jesus is. I completely agree. But try explaining that to a lost man or a lost person who's been drugged through the hypocrisy of Christians who are two-faced and don't step up to the standard of the Christian life. Try trialing that one to him. I don't want somebody pointing across to me at the judgment bar of God saying, I saw what he did and that was a lie. And reject Christ because of my living. See, we should care. Because this, listen to me, it's not just about our testimony. This is about whether or not people go to heaven or hell or not. This is about whether or not folks will be willing to listen to the Savior we're supposed to represent. See, it does make a difference, doesn't it? So we should care, shouldn't we? We are a spectacle, the Bible says, unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. So the next question is, who's watching? Verse 9 says the world. Please understand that means the cosmos. That means the ordered, arranged system of things. Listen, there is a system out there, ladies and gentlemen, that has its own God. That's Satan, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There's a system out there, ladies and gentlemen, has its own spirit, has its own philosophy, has its own religion, has its own way of living. It has an organized system of things. When the Bible says the world, it's not talking about the earth. It's talking about the system that exists on this earth, empowered by the devil, that is intended to feed the carnal, fleshly appetites of society. And it's out there. Agreed? I mean, it's not rocket science to figure that out. That system is very well organized, very well empowered, and has a whole lot more people in it than God's system. The Bible says that system watches you. That system's in the stands watching you on the theatron of life. And that world watches us. Now, what do they see? Well, for some of them, they're looking for reasons or excuses to reject the Savior you say that you belong to. They're looking for reasons. They want to find reasons to say, see? See, that's why. Mahatma Gandhi, a great leader in India many years ago, was a man who Christians had tried to win this man to Christ. He rejected him, and he rejected Christ. And when they asked him why, he said, I reject Christians. He turned the Savior down because of what he'd seen in Christians living. By the way, not all Christians are hypocrites. Not all Christians are phonies. But when the world watches, the Bible says, they're looking. Some of them are looking for reason to reject the Savior. And they're going to use you as that reason. Or, there are some people in that world today, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to this preacher. There's some people in that world today who are sick and tired of the fact that it has no life in it. That carnal, fleshly living provides you nothing but selfishness and self-gratification, and there is no gratification in it. They run the gamut of the system, and they're tired of the fact that sin does not give them what they want, but only takes from them what it wants. There are people in the world today, they want something different. They know there's something wrong with that philosophy. They know there's something wrong with humanism. They know there's something wrong with secularism. They know there's something wrong with going to the zoo and throwing peanuts to their relatives. They know there's something wrong with that. They know there's something wrong with a man-centered philosophy. They know there's something wrong with the fact that sin is funny, but there's no pleasure in it, but only for a season. They know that. They know that, and they pillowed their head last night, sick and tired of the fact they got drunk again. They got high again. They cheated again. They were liars again. They have no life in what they have. They're sick and tired of waking up this morning with a head 10 times size what they went to bed with. They're tired of the life that they have. And they're watching you, and they're hoping today that what you have is so real. That's exactly what they've been looking for. We are a spectacle unto the world. So I don't see it, Pastor Johnson. I tell an old story I've told here years, a few times over the years. When I was in the Bible college, we used to have a ministry to sailors at Navy Base in North Chicago, 75 miles one way. We take a bus from the church up there, pick them up, bring them back to the church, and take them back on Sunday nights quite late. One late Sunday night, we were taking them back through a horrible rainstorm in downtown Chicago. And there in Chicago, in the downtown, what's called the Loop area, they don't raise the overpasses over the freeways. They dip the freeways under the overpasses. So every overpass has this big dip underneath it. And it's all connected for the drain system to the sewer system in Chicago. We drove the bus up there. We dropped these guys off. We're coming back. It's 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's very late at night. We're down to the downtown part of Chicago, and we pull up to one of these underpasses or dips under the overpass, and it's full of water. Backed up Chicago sewer water. And it's pretty deep. So deep that we pull up there. Someone had driven a Volkswagen into it, saw it start to sink, jumped out, let their car roll, and the Volkswagen was completely submerged in the water, and you could see the little dome lights on it. Chicago, sewer water with parts in it. Well, we pulled up with a bus and we thought, well, we could drive through there. In fact, just before we did, a big semi-truck went rolling through there and he made it just fine. We thought, psh, we can do it. A bus did it. Truck, bus, same size. We can make that. So one of the guys, she starts driving the bus down into the sewer water. Choke, 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 choke. Water starts coming up on the first step of the bus, second step of the bus, third step of the bus. Water starts to come in the bus, and it killed the engine. And it rolled down into Chicago sewer water with parts in it. And there's half a dozen of us in the bus. Brother Evans, I believe, was present, if I recall. We're in Bible college together, and we thought, well, we got to push it out. Well, we're poor college students. We didn't have enough money to ruin a suit in Chicago sewer water. So I made the suggestion, let's take our suits off. And one of the guys from West Virginia, I believe it was, said, we'll be out there in our underwear. I said, I know that, but I got more underwear. I don't have more suits. So we got to take. So we all laughed and giggled. We took our suits off. Kept our shirts and ties on so we would be appropriate. You got six guys in their underwear with a shirt and tie on, walking down. And I never knew Brother Evans wore Spider-Man underwear till then. That was incredible. Grown man. But anyway. We walk down into the sewer water, and it stinks, and there's parts floating in there, folks, from sewer parts. And we get out in front of that bus, and Matt Cabral, one of our guys, a little short fella, water was just right at his chin. And he's blowing parts away while we're working our way to the front of this bus, squish, 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 with parts that sunk to the ground. And we're pushing this bus back out of the sewer water. and laughing and giggling, having a great time, water soaking up the tie, heading toward the shirt. And we got about a third of the way out of the water, and one of the guys thought a rat had bit him, and we all screamed like girls and jumped on the hood of the bus. The bus driver giggled, and it rolled back into the sewer again. So we crawled off the bus, and we crawled, get down into the water, and we're pushing it. Max over here going, blowing parts away. And we pushed the bus back up onto the dry pavement there, overpass here, middle of the night. No one was around. We're giggling, laughing, squeegeeing parts off of us with our underwear on and our shirts and our ties. And then the bus driver does one of these numbers. He starts pointing. What? And we turned around. There must have been 200 people on that overpass watching us push this bus out of the sewer. Six guys in white shirts and ties in their underwear. Some of them Spider-Man underwear. Looking. And they started clapping. It's Chicago, you know. They started clapping. They thought it was a good performance. Shirt and tie. So we went, we're Mormons, and got on the bus. We had no idea we had spectators. Thank God they never found out at the college till years later. But the truth is, you think they don't see. Yes, they do. Look at me. They're either looking for ammunition to use against God, or they're looking for hope. So you look at me. So you don't care what your living does to try to help somebody out? I didn't say go to work with a big hippie Jesus Bible underneath your arm and start beating people over the head with it. How about just go to work and work 8 hours for 8 hours, 8 hours work for 8 hours pay? How about being honest enough? How about just when people say, what do you do? I went to church or something like that. How about just saying, well, I was in church Sunday morning with my family. How about let the redeemed of the Lord say so? You don't have to shove anything down anybody's throat. You just live right and they're going to stand out like a sore thumb. But that the world should see that. Then it says we're a spectacle to angels. Now that's angelic beings, the heavenly host. Do you know that in this theatron in which we live, the angels of heaven watch us down here on this earth? You see, they can't take the gospel. Angels are not allowed to witness and give the gospel to people. So the angels of heaven watch you and I living and working among unsaved people, and I guarantee you they're wishing you and I would be just a little more open about the fact that we're a child of God and talk to folks about salvation. I guarantee you they'd like to do it. We got way too many Christians who are totally silent about their Christian life. Never mind how you live it. How about just the fact that God saved you and Jesus is your personal Savior? How about giving them a gospel tract? How about just sharing Christ with them for a moment? My friend, I assure you the angels of heaven wish they could proclaim that, but they're not allowed to because that's your job and that's mine. The angels watch us, the Bible says. That means angelic hosts. That means the eternal realm. That means those people in heaven who've gone on before us, who watch us while we run our race down here. You know something? There are Christians up there who gave their lives for the faith you hold very lightly in your hands. I believe they expect more of us. You got loved ones up in heaven watching you run your race. And I believe it with all my soul this morning. They see you in church today and they are so pleased. They saw you get up this morning, take your Bible and open it up and spend some time with God. They taught you to do that. They showed you mostly by their example. You know, the little grandmas that held their Bibles in their hand, those grandfathers who bowed their head at dinner tables, those moms and dads, those loved ones. Hey, they showed you some things you still instill in your life, and you kept there. They're watching you. They're very pleased. They're very pleased this morning. And in that angelic host is not only angels and those of heaven, but there is the one who gave you your salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, who watches you as you run your race down here. Maybe for some of us today, he wonders why you're ashamed of him. Why do you live a secret Christian life? Or worse yet, why do you say that you're a Christian and I'm a child of God, and then you live completely contrary to that? I wonder if he looks at nail prints in his hands and his feet and thinks, what was that about for them? We're a spectacle unto the angels. And the Bible says we're a spectacle unto men. Well, it can't be unsaved people. That's in the world. Can't be folks who are in heaven there among the angels today. So I guess that what that means is that person sitting next to you this morning. Other child of God, fellow child of God people, other Christians. Now, I'll make a promise to you today, and I hope you'll make the same promise to me. Regardless of what you do, I want to try to live for God because He saved me. I'm not in this because of another Christian. That's not my primary motivation. So look at me. So if I quit someday and I say, that's it, I'm done, I'm sick and tired of people messing with me in my life, that's just a sorry excuse, and you know it is. Because I didn't die for you and you didn't die for me. Jesus died for me, and He is my example. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I'm going to put my eyes on Jesus today. But can I say this to you this morning? It encourages me when I see a fellow child of God step up and step out like they're supposed to. That is encouraging. That is a blessing to me. There were days in ministry when I would stand here on a Sunday morning and look out at the crowd and say, oh, they're not here. They're not here. And I noticed that. I tried to, and I'm sorry if I missed you. But I try to notice who is and isn't here. But first thing before I notice who isn't, I always notice who is. See, I'm the pastor, so I have people come to me with their situations and troubles, and then I look out and I see their face in church on Sunday morning, and I say, man, God bless them today. What a blessing. How did they get through the valley enough just to get out of bed this morning and get their clothes on and come to church? That blesses me. By the way, it reminds me I got nothing to complain about. You could be living in one of those states today that's been devastated by these tornadoes and absolutely wiped out entire cities. The 30s, 40s, some people found dead. They anticipate more. And now some of those poor souls are going to get snow dumped on top of them. Don't really have anything to complain about. But you are a spectacle to other fellow Christians. Yes, you are. You don't have to live up to my standard to make me happy. I'm glad to see you anytime, anywhere, any place I can see you. I like to come up on folks when they're out somewhere in public and they're doing something they're not supposed to do. I know they think I'm like tracking them or something. And, you know, camoed up and painted my face and sneak up behind him and go, ah! I've seen people do some really funny, strange things when they saw me coming. My favorite one is when they're smoking. They see me coming, they put their hand behind their back. And they look like Pocahontas with a trail of smoke going up over the back of their head. I got to stand there and talk to them for a while. I don't care what it is. I just want to see how long they can stand there and hold that thing behind their back without setting their shirt on fire. I mean, but I am encouraged by the people of God. I am. No, none of us are perfect. No one is absolutely everything they should be at all times in their life. But I try to live in such a way, not to please people, but to not displease them if possible. Now Fridays, let me just say this. Friday is my day off. If I get a day off, I try to take Fridays off. So Friday, I try to relax a little bit. Some of you have stood next to me in a store before, and you thought I was a homeless guy. That was me. I don't shave, rarely bathe. I mean, I just take a day off, okay? So if you invite me over to your house on Friday, good luck, whatever you get. I just try to take it easy. I was in a store one day. I don't think I even combed my hair, nothing. Shaved. I had an ugly, big old baggy Hawaiian shirt on and pants with holes in it. One of our teenagers was there in the store. She's about three registers over. She turns around and she sees me. And she goes, is that you, Pastor? I said, yeah, that's me. She goes, that's my pastor over there! To the top of her lungs. I said, shh. So I started looking around. Who is she talking about? Bye, preacher, see you later. Shut up, kid. I am incognito. I'm undercover. I'm sorry that sometimes people don't live up to what they should. And I'm not going to use them as my excuse. How about you? But I don't want to give them a reason either. I want to try to live my life with the reality that somebody else's life is affected by mine. Welcome to responsible adulthood and biblical Christianity. We are a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. Let's just do our best to be sincere and responsible. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning, would you?